coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning live from Saratoga. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Coming up a little bit later on the show, David Aragona. Time for him, Daily Racing for him. You see him do the pregame show often here at NYRA. We'll get some ideas from David on this afternoon's card. Also going to be joined by Rick Schatzberg. He'll come in a little while. We'll talk some of the New York Thoroughbred Horseman's issues and whatnot with Rick. Nick Hahn, who has a radio show down in Virginia. He's in town for a couple of days, but I thought we'd talk to him a little bit and promo the radio show, but also racing in Virginia. We'll kick off in just a few weeks on a Colonial Downs. We'll get some thoughts from him. But top of the show, our friend Dale Romans came over on the golf cart and wanted to talk to Dale a little bit. He's got some runners down on the shore tomorrow in the Molly Pitcher and the Haskell. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you going to head down tomorrow?
I think I'm going to go down this afternoon sometime. Okay. Yeah, there's nothing to hang around here for tomorrow, right?
Exactly. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, we did the Times Union seminar a week and a half or so ago, the Tuesday before the meet started down in Albany. You and Eric Yeo and Larry Colmus and Richard Migliore were on the panel. I had a little piece at the end, but I said after I left the seminar, the second year they've done it, always amazed the fans up here. It's the week before the meet, or a few days before the meet. We're down in Albany at a full house.
Full house. It's amazing what Saratoga brings up. But, you know, they're all locals down there. That's what I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that the community support from here all the way down to Albany, 30 miles away, is incredible.
And you and the rest of the panel telling some good stories, and everybody had a chance to kind of reflect on Saratoga and take that chance up here. It just seems like, for the fans, it's great. For the fans, it means a lot. But for the horsemen, being up here at Saratoga racing and winning means a lot as well.
You know, I really believe it made my career. When I decided to break off, I was only 26 years old when I brought my first set of horses up here. About six up, Tammy and I came up. We had a newborn baby. I said, that's got to be the best year of my life. We won three races. And things just kind of started snowballing from there. But you could win 20 races back home back then at Ellis Park, and nobody knew it. You win one up here, and people realize it.
And one of the biggest ones was just a few years ago. Reflect back on King Ice and the upset of American Pharoah.
Yeah, that was a great moment, and by far the most historic win I've ever had, or will ever have. And I told that story down there. There was a funny thing that I was going to be here by myself. The kids, both kids, were had things going on at work, and Tammy had to be back home in Kentucky. And then 2-3 days out, Barry, my daughter called, said, I'm coming up. She flew in. The next thing, Jake calls me, said, I'm on my way driving. He shows up. And then that Friday, I didn't even know if she surprised me. Tammy showed up, and everybody was here. We won the race. It was a special, special day for all of us.
It was fun hearing you talk about it, too, because you didn't watch it live. You were watching one in the race.
I always watch them live, but that was so hectic with America Fell. But it was cool. He deserved all the accolades he was getting. I'll tell you, when we walked over that day, the walkover was you were canopied by people. They were all on ladders on each other's shoulders and taking videos of Farrell coming over. We were right behind him on the way over, and I told my son, this is something special. Just remember this forever. And he's a big racing fan as we walked over, and then to win it. And then walking back, like I told you at the show, at the draw, I told Chris Kay, thank you for limiting the number of people that are going to be able to boo me, because he had limited the crowd size. It was that yeah. Thing was going to be so big. And after we won on the way back, I walked with the horse back, and this crowd was cheering the performance of Keen Ice. And I thought that showed how classy and how smart and professional the horse racing fans that come to Saratoga are.
Yeah, it certainly reflects well on the fans that have, as I say, make this place special, not just because of what happens here at the racetrack, but outside the fence. You go downtown, people talk about the Daily Double.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this triple tomorrow. And
I tell you, it's not a good idea to put the flowers from the Travers around your shoulders and try to walk down Union Avenue. It attracts quite a crowd in Saratoga.
Let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up. Obviously, tomorrow, big day down at Monmouth with the Haskell, but the Molly pitcher you're going to have for our friend Roddy Valente. You're going to have Coach Rocks in there. I pulled up the nice little rebound effort last time. Churchill will watch the stretch run here, June 23rd. Coach Rocks, the number one horse, gets a nice win down there at Churchill. How'd she come out of this? Of going to the Molly pitcher.
Well, this race was supposed to be on the grass, and then we're in the paddock, and it came a deluge, and so they took it off last minute. They went to a stop, and this is what we needed to see out of it, to round back into a roll form. Asmussen's horse, their second, that's a really good horse. She's been such a fun friend. She's owned by an ownership group of three of my close friends, Roddy Valente, Rick Pitino, and Terry Finley. And so it's always fun to win them. It's a lot of pressure when you run for your friends, but this fair has done us well.
Yeah, we've certainly rooted along for Roddy and company. See Roddy all the time down at the Racebook down in Albany, and the local owner that we always root for, and Coach Rocks. Of course, the win last year in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, you were down there.
That was a big night. So,
what do you expect? I mean, you run into a beast in Midnight B-Shoot tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, you never duck in this game if your horse is doing good, because you don't know how good the other horse is doing or what can happen in a race. If we went off of paper, we'd have never beaten Pearl. You know, we got a ton of respect for that, for the mare. She's a special horse in that B-Shoot, but we're going to let her try to outrun her.
Very good. Let's now move on to the Haskell Everfast. For this one, we'll pull up the Preakness. Nice runner-up finish behind War of Will. War of Will, the number one horse. Everfast, the number 10 horse in here. Everfast subsequently ran seventh in the Belmont Stakes, but had come out of a fifth in the Pat Day Mile to run the second-place finish. So now we're heading into the Haskell on Saturday. What are your thoughts there?
Coming through with the yellow helmet on. He's rolling. He's doing great, and this race sets up well. For him, he really finished seventh in the Belmont. Hey, that beat three lengths. And if you run a mile-and-a-half race and only beat three lengths, that's a pretty good effort. And this was strong. And this race tomorrow, there's a ton of speed. We'll probably just tell them to settle back and try to let them do their work and come run them down.
Very good. And will the game plan be, or is it too early to say, looking at the Travers?
I'd love to. Definitely. That's the whole I plan. We've done that move a lot of times. Haskell Travers. That was Keen Ice. He ran second to fail in the Haskell. Came back and won the Travers. And love to come up here and have another starter in the Travers.
Go with what works. I want to get some updates on a couple other horses as I looked on the Equibase stats. For some of your horses, I saw one I want to touch on a little bit later, a nice two-year-old, but I want to get an update also on Promises Fulfilled. We'll watch the John Nayrud from July 6th. Promises Fulfilled, the number 9 horse in here. I had pulled up earlier, you said Seven Trumpets scratched today. I had pulled up the replay of the nice race up here last year with Seven Trumpets running second to Promises Fulfilled. Yeah. So he's got nice stakes credentials up here at Saratoga. And coming off of this win that we're watching here down at Belmont in the neighborhood, will we see Promises Fulfilled up here?
The plan is for him to be in the Fairville.
Oh, nice.
You know, he's run three times this year. All three times he's standing leaving there. Today, this race, he broke clean. And they let him go at 23. He hadn't seen 23 or 36 in his life. And at that point, I was pretty confident he'd finish up. And he finished up running. He went to the last race at 35-1 and came out of it with a 108 power figure.
Yeah, 23 and change, 46 and change, 109 and change, 121, and just kept going. As
just
said,
picking it up. Yeah.
That had to make you feel good.
Yeah, it did. He's a special horse, this horse. He's going to have some big races. But that was a win in the air for the Breeders' Cup, so we sort of went backward from there. And it makes sense to skip the sprint up to Vanderbilt and then go into the Fairville and then maybe swing back through Keeneland for the Commonwealth. And
is he up here?
He's here. He never left after we came up to Belmont.
Very good. Wanted to get, as I alluded to earlier, down at Ellis. I know over the past couple of years when we've had you in here, we've looked at some two-year-olds you've had down at Ellis, and you had a nice one on June 30th. We'll watch the stretch one run. Nighttime wins in the career debut, the number one horse here. Again, just a couple of weeks back down at Ellis Park. Talk a little bit about Nighttime in the career debut victory margin 4.5 lengths. Yeah, this was a pretty good debut effort.
Yeah, he's headed to the 316th pole. He ends up winning the four. That says a lot to me. When they're that close, they're in the eighth pole, past the eighth pole, they're ahead and opens up and wins by 4.5. Going to be a really good horse, I think.
And is the game plan next stay there, or we look for something maybe up here for him? Because certainly you've started some nice two-year-olds, including Everfest.
Everfest.
The maiden at Ellis. So you've had some nice ones that
very
started
tall,
there.
A bunch of them. And so he breaks his maiden there. There's a stake down there that we may just stay for August 18th, but there's also a chance to come up here and maybe try a special or a hopeful or something like that, because this is a very good horse. And if people got another one running next week that people should watch out for, Dennis's Moment. I think he's as good a horse as
Dennis's
ever had.
Moment.
Yeah, he ran once at Churchill Downs and when got shut off, the jock fell off, broke his arm off of my main jock house jock, Robbie Alvarado. And so Dennis is going to make his second career start and hopefully can keep the jock on his back next week.
All right. You got any ones that you can whisper up here that are coming up?
Up here, we got a couple of some nice horses you got to look out for and some two-year-olds that are going to be good. They're about 4 or 5 2-year-olds, but people will see them.
And talk about that a little bit, because things have changed this year. Some folks are staying at Ellis. There's been a kind of a change up in management there, and things have changed a little bit where outfits now maybe have a few more horses down there. As I say, you've been there for past years. Nice 2-year-olds we've been watching the past few years down in Ellis. But talk a little bit about Ellis in the summertime.
The complete dynamics of Kentucky racing has changed. You know, it used to be when I first started coming up here, you would get down here. Or Churchill went in July, early July. And they wouldn't have good racing in Kentucky again in October. Ellis was pretty weak, and he'd go to Turfway. Ellis has been buoyed up a lot by the money from Kentucky Downs. They put shifted purse money over. Maidens are $50,000, which is nothing to be sneezed at. And then we go back into Churchill, took over September dates with Kentucky Downs. They have $100,000 maiden races. So it makes sense to stay back there. But like I tell everybody, if you're going to be in racing, you better have a presence at Saratoga.
Yeah, and certainly Saratoga is the premier. I've said it, and we've kind of alluded to it. It's fun to race here and fun to win here, and I'll ask you, does it, as a trainer, and we talked about the Traverse, and I remember I was up on the roof for that, and I saw you coming back into the winner's circle. Is it extra special when you're performing in front of a big crowd?
You know what they say, if you can do it here, you can do it anywhere. Well, that's true. Frank knew what he was talking about. And yeah, so it is special. If you're anything you do at the highest level, it's special. And you know, you're gonna be around, when you're up here, you're around greatness. It's all over the place. It's every single day there's a great horse running or a great trainer training or something great with great jockeys. And it's just a magical place to be.
I've asked some of the trainers who have been here. You can see in the picture, you know, we have Claire Court right behind us and horses working out there all morning. Do you ever bring horses over here? And what is the game plan when you bring them here as opposed to the...
Well, I used to bring some over here, but now we've got the fewer numbers. But we always take, like, the more aggressive horses that you want them to get off the bit a little bit. And this it's a cool thing up here. You can go to the turf track and train in the mornings where no other place can you train horses on turf in the mornings. And Claire Court's pretty cool. And it's just a lot of fun to train here, a lot of options and great facilities.
And we were kind of alluding to it before we went on the air. There's the social scene, too, which is
awesome. There's the social scene. It was a long night last night, but...
You and me both.
Yeah.
And then no racing tomorrow, although you said you're going to head out to...
I'll be at Monmouth Park. If we'll race here, I'll find a place to race.
The rest of us have the day off, so it could be a fun night down in downtown Saratoga.
I've already had people last night talking, well, we don't even do Saturday. We're coming to Monmouth.
I had some people say the same thing. I was in the on the front side, and I said, "Hey, we'll sit by the pool tomorrow." They said, "No,
August they gamble.
We're going down to Monmouth." Dale, as always, really appreciate the visit. Certainly wish you a lot of luck tomorrow down in Monmouth with both Coach Rocks and Everfest for the summer forward, as well with horses like Promises Fulfilled and Nighttime.
Thank you. So it's always good to be on the show with you,
Dale Robbins. We'll take a break. See him in the green room. Rick Schatzberg up next. Stay tuned.
Come on. You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Friday morning, live from the Saratoga Backstretch, as promised before the break. Joined now by our friend Rick Schatzberg. Rick, good morning.
Seth, great to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Thanks so
much.
Happy
to have you sit back in here with us. We've done it many years now, and we'll talk a little racing. We'll talk a little New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association as well. But why don't we start out, because with the now card move towards Sunday. It was going to be the 11th race on Saturday, but it's a state bred allowance non-winners and one other than. It'll be the 12th on Sunday now. You have Riendo in. Give us a little update on that one.
Well, interesting horse. He ran, we took it, sent him to Florida. He ran a couple of decent races, got into a little bit of trouble and kind of wasn't focused down there. We brought him back up to New York and immediately won. Okay, I think the blinkers have really helped him. He went on to run two good allowance races after breaking his maiden for a tag. And his last race, the post position really hurt him. He's the type of horse, he's a very heavy-headed horse. And if he sees daylight, he's going to take it, whether the jock likes it or not. And we drew the 10-hole, and we really got parked out into the middle of the course. And I felt bad for the jock. He felt bad for me. The horse just took him to the lead, went too fast, and couldn't finish last time. That being said, he only got beat five lengths, and his number was, you know, not that bad. We drew inside this time. We drew the two. And I think he'll get a better chance to get covered up. Once he gets covered up, he drops the bit a little bit. But as soon as he sees daylight, he's a pretty tough horse to handle. But Kendrick gets along with him really well. He's got a win and a third on him.
Nice. So we'll look for Riendo
On
Sunday now. Sunday in the 12th. Yep. I asked Dale, I've asked a couple other trainers in here because of where we're located. You ever bring horses back here? And it seems like when I ask people what they do in Clare Court as opposed to the main track or over at Oklahoma, it's almost a mental thing. They're trying to get some kind of mental aspect out here with a little bit of a different atmosphere.
Yeah, I think you can get horses to relax a little bit out here. It's a couple of things. Yeah, it's a little quieter. It's kind of like a country atmosphere. The track itself is a little bit deeper. And also the turns are much tighter, so they can't really roll around there. I like to take them there on race day. Very early in the morning when it's nice and cool, so they can go ahead and get a little bit of exercise, not wear themselves out. But a lot of, you know, especially when we're running at 7 o'clock in the evening, you want to get them a little bit of exercise. And it's a beautiful place just to let them, you know, go around there, loosen their muscles up and relax and not get crazy.
We've already alluded to it with the cancellation tomorrow because of the heat and humidity. Now, with no racing, what on the trainer side of things, what goes on in the barns? I mean, should we make fans in the stalls and all
that? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. We get the, you know, high-velocity fans on all of them. They've altered the training schedule tomorrow, so we're going to start a little bit earlier. 5 o'clock is the first set. Last set would be 9:30 with a break at 7 o'clock over here on the main. And I think that'll help a lot. really start to feel it. So I think my last set tomorrow is probably closer to 8:30. I really want to get him out early. But, yeah, then we give him cool baths, get him in the stalls, get him behind those fans, you know, maybe not train him quite as hard in the morning. If you want to just take him up for a little jog, probably be a good idea. But, you know, it just basic common sense. You know, it's really hot. What would you rather do, sit in your air conditioning or go out there and run a marathon?
Yeah, no, I hear you. You talked about your set, and we were talking before we went on the air. You've got a new branding for some of your horses, the Clear Stars stable.
Absolutely.
You're wearing the shirt. Talk a little bit about it.
And
where does the name come from, Clear Stars?
Michael Sternclaw is our, the head of the syndicate, the general partner, and Sternclaw in German, I guess, means clear star. So we've had this syndicate up for about 10 years now. And we had My Four Chicks, and we talked about Mary's Girl, which is a wonderful story for the local folks. But we started branding a little bit for the Clear Stars Syndicate, and we've got saddle pads now and our paddock blankets and you know, all our own equipment and stuff like that. And it's a really great bunch of people. They really enjoy it. They can get in at a small level, and it's, you know, they can buy into a two-year-old or an older horse or a combination of two, and it's always and we always enjoy having them come out in the morning. I got people coming out at 5:30 in the morning, watch a horse train up here, and it's great. They
so
learn a lot.
Open to anybody?
Yeah, anybody wants to come in, you know, get us on the, we have a website or our Facebook page at Clear Stars. You can always get a hold of me. But yeah, anybody wants to buy in, we've got horses now. And we're looking to get more horses and looking to expand the brand and move forward.
And certainly now's the time to do it, because there's nothing like running a horse up at Saratoga.
Absolutely, no. People like to run up here. They love to run well, but you know, the competition's pretty tough, and we're all looking for that elusive win up here. But boy, when you get it, it's one of the happiest days of your life, and Michael will attest to that.
And even just the experience, as you say, coming to the backstretch and kind of petting your horse and going to the paddock and all those kind of things, it's fun.
Yep.
Extra fun up here at Saratoga.
No doubt. All right,
we've got the cap here, and every time we have you back here, we talk a little bit New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. You're one of the board members.
Absolutely.
And so let's jump into a little bit of that. Let's start out by talking, first of all, a topic that has become prominent in the racing game for probably the last 5-10 years, maybe a little more prominent this year, but the aftercare, and you guys with the Take the Lead program, it's been something you've concentrated on for a while now, so you've kind of been out ahead of this, horsemen in New York.
Well, no doubt, the Take Two, Take the Lead initiative was the brainchild of Rick Violet, our former president, who unfortunately for everybody passed away last fall. But he set up the program, he was the architect of it, and he and Andy Belfiore, our executive director, and I came on board when I came on the director's board in 2011-12 when we started the initiative, and we have taken the lead on aftercare. I think nationwide, I think our funding has increased, and I think we have a great blueprint. We make it easy for the horses, for the horsemen to get a hold of us, to transition horse. And we cover all the costs of getting the horse into a TAA-accredited rehabilitation, retraining, and rehoming situation. And we also have the Take Two Thoroughbreds Only Hunter and Jumper Show League for the horses that make it through, you know, the ones that can get through the rehabilitation, retraining, and are talented enough to go into hunters and jumpers. We have a league just for that, too, and that's the other initiative, and we have prize money and finals and all kinds of awards and stuff for that. But, yeah, aftercare is all important these days, getting these horses to transition to proper facilities that can handle the rehabilitation regardless of the conditions of the horse, if the horse has some injuries or if the horse needs surgery. Transportation, we make sure that when the horse gets to the aftercare facility, whether it be Rerun up here in East Greenbush with Lisa Malloy, or New Vocations, which is just north of here, and in Kentucky and Pennsylvania, Akendale, Old Friends, I mean, we work with everybody. We want to make sure that that horse's profile reaches the aftercare facility prior to the horse getting there. So when the horse gets off the van, they know exactly what to expect. whether it's if the horse has any injuries or some old injuries that need rehabilitation, or if the horse is just lacking talent here on the track and the owners decided, hey, you know, why should I sink more money into him if it looks like he can have a great life? The bottom line is these horses race for 2, 3, 4 years if they're lucky. They live to 20, 25. So most of their life is after racing. So that's where the TAA and programs like Take the Lead come in. We assist the horse, and the horse that used to have trouble finding play. Oh, well, you know, I know there's a little girl that wants this horse in their backyard. Well, honestly, that never really happens. You need a system. You need a system, you need a network, and that we have. And I think it's a great program. The horsemen like it. Andy and I are getting phone calls 2 or 3 times, 4 times a week. And we're transitioning horses into aftercare facilities all the time.
Yeah, that's great. As I said, you guys were kind of out in front of this and have had this program for a while now, so horsemen and owners can just give a call to the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's
Association. Absolutely. You can call us or you go to take2thoroughbreds@gmail.com. Yeah, absolutely.
When I pulled up the website a little early this morning, another initiative that was kind of interesting, and you say tied in with Rick and whatnot, the Mercy House initiative there.
Yeah, we've... Nitha and Best have teamed up with the local Bethlehem Church, and we're assisting in the funding of a new facility right next to the church on Washington. And it's going to be like a rehab facility for locals, but it's a 4-story facility, and the 4th floor will be designated strictly for backstretch workers. And it is dedicated to Rick Violet, so it'll be the Rick Violet rehabilitation for backstretch workers. You know, I'm sure they'll come up with a smoother title. But, yeah, we had a wonderful ceremony the other day. It was the same day that they ran the Rick Violet Stakes here, the inaugural Rick Violet Stakes here. And I think, look, bottom line is he made racing better in New York from every angle, every facet of racing, whether it be for the backstretch workers, whether it be for aftercare, whether it be for the owners and the trainers fighting for the right thing to do for workman's compensation, battling things out up in the state legislature all the time, tirelessly, and winning grade one stakes at the same time. Just an amazing, amazing, amazing person.
Yeah, Wednesday, in honor of the stake in the day, I played the interview Steve Bick and I did last year, the day after the Whitney, which was fun to see the conversation again about Diversify. You mentioned Rick and the good work he did. Certainly also want to mention Nitha, good work that we've talked about already, and you've got a meeting coming up where you'll be discussing. Yeah. We're talking about that on the air, so maybe alert people.
Yeah, we have a general membership meeting on Sunday. It'll be held at 11 a.m. at the Facing Kitchen Pavilion, and all topics are open to discussion, whether it be aftercare, whether it be workman's compensation, or whether it be, you know, any topics that Nitha holds the initiatives on. Okay, any important topics that the owners or trainers would like to talk about. It's it's open forum, and the whole board of directors will be there. We'll also have a barbecue afterwards, a barbecue lunch afterwards. It'll be really hot, so it's a great day for a barbecue. But it'll start at 11 o'clock. We do race that day, as long as the weather holds out for us. So it'll probably be a good, you know, solid hour and a half, 2-hour meeting, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of topics for us.
And the Nitha office up here is right here in the back.
The Nitha office is right on the back stretch. Yeah, it's
by the mutual
windows.
Yeah,
right by the mutual, behind mutual windows, and near, if you know where Phil Surfy's barn is, right next to there, right in that area there also. You can get a hold of us. But the meeting will be held over at Phasic Tipton in the air conditioning.
I should mention also, am I right that you guys have gotten the initiative underway that's kind of like that Churchill Downs Racing Club, where now people can kind of jump in and get a little piece
of the Empire Racing Club,
touch of ownership?
Exactly. It's another great initiative that started the board. Rob Masiello, who's on our board.
A prominent owner now?
Yes, exactly.
The guy who kind of jumped in with West Point a little bit now is out on his own.
And he's, he kind of spearheaded it back when he first came on the board. And it's been terrific. They get, they do tours, and of course Tom Durkin helps with that. He's always been a great speaker for, you know, for racing in New York and racing in general. And yeah, they've had a lot of fun with the Empire Racing Club, and I think it's a great success. And we've just heard wonderful things, and it's growing too. It's growing.
It was a great idea because the Churchill race, that they kind of fell into a really good
course. That's the good thing though. That's the one thing about racing. You know, a lot of first time owners get a good horse right away.
Yeah.
And they're hooked, and they get in. Then they gotta learn about how the reality of racing, where it doesn't always happen that way. But if you're an owner long enough, you enjoy the really, really good times, and you getting beat once in a while or once in a lot.
If you'd like a little more information, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, they have a website. You can check that out all the info. As you say, the Clear Star Stable, folks can check that out
as
well, and maybe get in some ownership that way. Rick, really appreciate the visit. Good luck Sunday with Riendo and through the remainder of the meet.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Rick Schaffberg, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen Association board member, will take a break. Nick Hahn will join us a little bit later on. David Aragona, stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouthwatering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Nick Hahn. As I said at the top of the show, Nick does a radio show that I have been lucky enough to be on. Does it kind of in conjunction with our friend Frank Vespi, also writes for the Racing Biz, Frank's website. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great morning up here at Saratoga.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about Off to the Races, the radio show down there in Virginia, because I think it's going to pick up and you'll have a lot to talk about. And what about a month, a little less than a month?
That's right. After 6 years, Colonial Downs returns to the racing calendar with August 8th. We're looking forward to it. It's been a little bit, my yard is in good shape and my basketball game's in good shape, and I'm looking to wreck it now with racing coming back. A little bit of a distraction now.
We were talking with Rick Schaffberg about being broken down athletes. Rick said he finished like ninth in the mixed doubles in the Nationals this past year with his wife. God bless him, but talked about being a little sore after that. I was mentioning I was playing all winter long basketball, and I'd be a little sore on Tuesdays after playing on Monday nights. But as we contacted you this morning and verified show times and whatnot, you were coming off the court at the Y.
That's right. There's
and you come out of town. You come into town and look for a game. I like that.
Oh, I love to travel up here. You got to find stuff to do other than going to the track. You know, it's like, and now, like, you know, with Saturday's racing being canceled, you know, there's more time to play out here in central New York.
How was the game?
It was a good game. Good game. 50 and over.
That's what they, people have told me that. I don't know.
We got to get you out there.
I don't know if I'm a morning guy, though. It's tough for me to get motivated because people have said, hey, the Y, they've got this group, and it's and I think, oh, yeah, okay. And then the clock goes up, and I'm kind of like, I roll over. And
it took me 9 hours to get up here. You can go to the Y in 9 minutes. Come on now.
Yeah, good point. How long have you been in town?
Just since Thursday.
All right.
Yesterday morning.
So you were at the track yesterday?
Yes.
How'd you do?
Did it? I had a real thrilling moment with the pick five that got very frustrated in the last race. I mean, it's a very narrow ticket, only a $16 ticket.
Oh, you went to the last.
And I went all the way to the last. There was some chalk in there, admittedly, but
that's okay with a ticket that size.
I was hedging though. I was really hedging that single in the last leg, and that made some of the money back. But I'd rather have that $500 payout.
Yeah, I hear you. We've all been there. Let's talk a little bit about. Again, you write some columns for Frank Vespi's The Racing Biz. Anything lately that jumps out?
Well, we're just getting ready for the Colonial Downs meet, doing a lot of previews. There's so many horsemen, Virginia horsemen, that are real loyal and dedicated to the meet and out of state. It's going to look a little different than it has in the past with going head-to-head with Maryland and racing a little bit later in the year, going head-to-head with Saratoga for that. So. I'm sorry to bring like the Colonial Downs weather up here, but it's going to look a little bit different. You may not see the full fields. The purses are going to be doubled. The days are cut in half. 500,000 average dailies there. Whole new crew. They seem to be very responsive to horsemen. They have some veterans on. You know, Jill Byrne is now the director of racing operations for Colonial Downs. She's really working hard. And they're just, they're just that first meet, kind of go through the cycle, make sure everything goes right, take care of everybody. I think that's what they're looking to do. And the turf courses, I mean, that turf course, for those who haven't seen it, it is just a supernatural turf course. I've seen some incredible things. Hurricanes come on shore and they don't pull racing off the turf. One time we used to joke about it for years and years that Colonial Downs might be one of the few tracks in the country where they pull racing off the dirt and put it on the turf, and then they actually did that, you know, a few years ago. So and the turf is just in great shape.
Is Colonial the track where they set the fire every year on
yes.
the turf course?
Yes.
Maybe we'll pull up some video to drop into the next show next week, just because, or you can check it on YouTube, because we had I think the track superintendent on the morning show back with the last time they raced, showing that probably what a month and a half, 2 months before the season, they set the whole course on fire.
That's right,
because for some reason it grows back better.
That it turns the course black, and it's Bermuda, and so that really the earliest they can race on it is June 1st in any given year, and they burn it, turns it black, it attracts more sunlight, it drops the and I, this was an education I got from J.D. Thomas, who's like the evil maestro of the whole thing. That's Jonathan Thomas's dad, trainer Jonathan Thomas'
dad, by
the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
But he is the one that came up with this. They actually drop, I can't remember if they did it this year or not. I think he wanted to kind of stop, but they used to drop a little bit of the crumb rubber in there.
Yeah, little rubber pellets, which helps attract the sunlight and heat too.
And gives a little aeration, a little bounce to it. He didn't want to do too much of that. But, now he's had like a whole season to do it. You know, usually it's done in a little bit of a rush to get the track ready. But by the time August rolls around, I'm sure that track is going to be great. And the dirt track, you know, now that they don't have to convert it with the harness meet being out in the Shenandoah Valley, they don't have to convert it. So now the dirt, you know, which is a mile and a quarter, for training, and they'll run about 75 to 80% of their racing on the turf. But now the dirt course is in excellent shape.
So. Talk a little bit about the course if people haven't been there, and just where it's located and what the facility is like.
It's a quaint facility. We stopped at Penn National on the way up, and kind of from the grandstand, standing, and it's about that size. It can probably comfortably handle somewhere between. A top number could be about 15. They've had 20. Usually it's about 8 or 10. It's various mix of seating and stuff. It's located between Richmond and Williamsburg.
They're going to be racing at 5 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, starting August 8th for the next 5 weeks. And, you know, great view of it here. You can see the grandstand and just, you know, that wide turf course. I think it has 20 lanes or something like that. So, they, you know, if one lane runs out, they just move the rail back and forth to find it. And there's an inner and outer turf. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I mean,
that's what people say.
It's the wooded arena, you know, for the woods all around it. And there's you either, you know, play in Williamsburg or you play in Richmond, which is about a 20-minute drive. So it's not far.
And, again, your radio show Off to the Races, you concentrate on that racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation about Colonial Downs. We talked a few weeks ago with Jason Beam when it was announced that he would be the announcer, and we were talking with him. He does a great job, so I'm sure he'll be great for that reignited season down there. And again, it starts off in a few weeks, and folks want to catch the radio show. I'm assuming they type in maybe your name or Off to the Races, find some internet info.
That's right, and through the Racing Biz, because we stream it also through the Racing Biz. Frank Vespy does a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, if he is really like one of the hardest working guys in the Mid-Atlantic. Doesn't get a lot of notability or credibility for really what he does, but what he's done with that website in a short period of time, I'm glad to be part of that team. I mean, he's got some good writers.
If you're looking for news, I say when I have Frank, and I have him on quite often, if you're looking for news or information on racing in the Mid-Atlantic, the Racing Biz, the place to go, so they can stream the radio show through that.
Through the Racing
Biz. RacingBiz.com, so keep that in mind. Off to the Races with Nikon and Company, covering racing in that Mid-Atlantic region. As I say, in a few weeks, things will gear up, and you'll have a lot of Colonial Downs talk as well. Nick, appreciate the visit.
Sure.
Enjoy your visit up here. Cash some tickets. We'll talk again.
We got to get you back on the course.
Yeah, well, that's a game plan. All right, we'll take another break. When we come back, David Aragona will join us. We'll talk a little racing on Friday afternoon and more. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Rock. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, you see him regularly as one of the hosts on the pregame show at NYRA, but he's also with Time Form and Daily Racing Form, David Aragona. Good morning.
Morning. It's good to be here.
Thanks for swinging by. Appreciate it. One of the questions I thought I would ask to start things off, because I say people see you all the time on the pregame show, you and Andy, and again, your work also in the Daily Racing Form with the Time Form comments and whatnot, but for people who are kind of just cluing in, give us your background. How did you become a racing fan?
I started coming to the races with my dad, like many others.
Everybody. None of my family. I guess the high school friend was a fan, but the dad to the races is big.
Yeah, actually, my father became a fan of the racing when he went to his first race, which was actually Secretariat's Belmont Stakes.
Oh, wow.
So he got hooked at that moment, unsurprisingly. And I just started going since I was a little kid, and I always liked handicapping and picking winners and just finding some long shots and value and just kind of snowballs. Never really imagined that I'd end up doing this for my career, but it kind of worked out that way accidentally.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about Saratoga. When was your first time up here, and
how does Saratoga compare to other venues you've been to?
I remember coming up, I think, for the first time in 97 or 98. I remember seeing Coronado's Quest and Grand Slam in an allowance race before they went on to
That's
stakes.
That's funny. We just talked about that earlier. We talked about how potent the allowance races can be up here.
Yeah, you don't see the two-year-old ones that much anymore. But, yeah, I've been coming up for well over 20 years now, since I was a kid.
And as I always say, it's not just the racetrack when you're up here. The local media is keyed up on it, and you can be downtown and people are talking about the races. That's the fun of Saratoga.
Oh, yeah, it's just, like, one of the best towns in the country. I mean, it's really just breathing and living horse racing all the time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Also, talk a little bit about Time Form before we get into some of the races, because they came on the scene, really, what are we, 5 years, something like that? I mean, over in Europe, they were a little more prominent, but have come over here. And it's a little different way of getting the past performance information. Maybe a little more visual would be a way to describe it.
Yeah, so I've been with Timeform US for about 4 years now, almost 4 years. So what they do is they make a different kind of speed figure. You're probably used to final time speed figures like the Beyer speed figures. Timeform US does pace-based speed figures, so they'll adjust the speed figure based on the final time, up or down, based on how fast or slow the pace was and how the horse ran in relation to the pace of the race. They also do a really intuitive layout. If you look at Timeform US, you see a lot of color coding. They're really breaking things down to make them a little easier to understand and easier to kind of intuitively get a sense of how a race is going to shape up in a few minutes. It's rather than just seeing a lot of black and white numbers on a page.
And that, these days, people can catch that via Daily Racing Form.
Yeah, via DRF.com or TimeformUS.com.
Wanted to pull up a couple from yesterday and just get some comments, because I was reading down your Twitter feed and you made some comments on some of these races. Just first pull up the Stillwater, and you made the comment, Fierce Lady was the big favorite. Certainly had that numbers edge off the career debut effort. But again, for folks who don't know, you kind of referred to it. She had, off of that, gone to a two-year-old sale. Subsequently, as an RNA, came back to the races, but there was some travel in between that debut and the stakes race yesterday, and you said probably not the Fierce Lady that we can expect, certainly that we saw the first time, or maybe expect in the future. All of that said, we'll watch the number 5, My Italian Rabbi, for Jeremiah Englehart, get it done here over Fierce Lady.
Yeah, those of us that saw Fierce Lady's debut at Belmont were really impressed. I mean, she was arguably the most impressive two-year-old debut winner at Belmont, despite the fact that she's a New York bred, and she just didn't really run back to that race here. Nothing against My Italian Rabbi, who did run well to beat her, and she was really game to get by her in the stretch. It just seemed like Fierce Lady didn't have that same early speed and was just a little bit dull in the stretch of this race. But I think it was a relatively strong race for this level. Usually you don't see the two-year-old New York breds running this fast early in the year, and these are all decent horses.
Yeah, the first two certainly worth keeping our eyes on, and I mentioned it earlier, as I mentioned a few times, I think Jeremiah this season up here at Saratoga is going to be very interesting with the two-year-olds.
Yeah, he's had some live ones so far at Belmont, and I'm sure he's got more to fire up here.
Wanted to show, speaking of two-year-olds, one more race from yesterday that you commented on, City Man, the number 9. It's a career debut effort. You said, you mentioned, didn't break well, was wide and green, but once he leveled off, he looked pretty good. This was a first-time starter from Christophe Clement. MTO got what they wanted, and I'm sure he got what he wanted. Chart margin of 3 here for City Man.
Yeah, if you follow workout reports or look at some workout videos, there was a little bit of buzz about this horse being able to run a bit. He had outworked another Christophe Clement horse in the morning, and I just like the way he did it. He was green, he was wide, he just didn't look like he was totally focused lucking in down the stretch, and right here he really levels off and finishes well. This race probably didn't get a pretty fast speed figure, but he's one that I think can run a lot faster in the future.
Yeah, it was a nice performance, certainly getting what they wanted, career debut, and as you say, once he kind of leveled off, he looked pretty good. All right, let's get some ideas for this Friday afternoon, and we'll kick things off. We'll look at race number 3 on Friday, State Bred Maiden Specials, 5.5 on the grass. I went 5-1-4-12. I put Dowell on top. The question mark is the turf, but I'm going to trust Service and Michael Dubb, although they did this with the horse a few days ago up here that didn't do so well. But on the other hand, they've done it with World of Trouble, and it's worked out all right. So I'm going to take the shot with Dowell that, again, the turf is not going to be an obstacle. I went in that direction, but what did you think?
Yeah, I also set the morning line at Naira, and I made Dowell the slight favorite at 7-2 over Dearly Declared. I think these two will vie for favoritism. I just never like taking horses trying a new surface for the first time as the favorite. That's the one reservation with Dowell, even though she does have some pedigree to do it. I went with Dearly Declared. She's a horse that I've been waiting to run back off her last trip at Belmont Park. I'm just not really sure what the plan was that day. I don't know if it was an instruction from Barkley Tag or if Jose Ortiz made the decision to rate this horse, but looking at that race going in, she seemed like she was supposed to be the controlling speed that day, and for whatever reason, they decided to take back from the rail. It just didn't work out. She was too rank behind horses, ended up getting a wide trip without any cover. I don't mind returning back to 5.5 furlongs because she does have some speed. speed. She didn't really handle the stretch out to two turns at Gulfstream. She faded a bit at the end. So I'm hoping she can just kind of slot in behind the speed horses and make a late run in this race. I think she's arguably the most talented horse in the race, though.
And it'd be fun to see the Funny Side team walk into the winner's circle.
Yeah.
Sacatoga and Barkley tag. Next up, we're looking at the fifth and seventh.
The seventh.
Seventh next up. That is an optional claimer, not one, is a two, other than, I said when we did the handicapping report earlier, I guess in this day and age, a mile and three-eighths is kind of a marathon. We're certainly verging on it in year 2019. I tilted towards the number nine. Brian Addo, who's on with me earlier, like the speed of Crack Speed, and thought he may take it. Lemonis, to me, the other Pletcher. I put Pillar Mountain on top from Pletcher, but Lemonis, the other Pletcher, is interesting. So I have it 9, 10, 10 7, and 8. Your thoughts on the 7th?
Yeah, we pretty much agree. I don't usually like to pick favorites. I try to find value in these races, but I also think at race cards like Saratoga offers, you want to find horses that you can key on in multi-race sequences, and I think Pillar Mountain might be one of those because I do believe he is what this race centers around. He is just the most likely winner. I know he's stepping up from nominators of one allowance races to nominators of two, but if you look at the fields that he's been facing, I don't think it's really that much of a step up in class because two back, he ran against Voting Control, who's probably a horse that's going to be down for stakes for Chad Brown, and then last time he beat He's No Lemon, who we saw come back and win here pretty impressively yesterday in a decent nominators of one allowance race. So I just think Pillar Mountain makes a whole lot of sense. He's proven that he handles the distance in a race where others haven't done that yet, and he's not going to mind a little bit of giving the course if we still have that from the rains that fell on Wednesday. So I think Pillar Mountain is the horse that you want. I would also use Sentry underneath him because Sentry was closing into a very slow pace last time and he was somewhat compromised. If he gets more pace in this race with Crack Speed in the race, I think that could help him. And Cape Angel, too. The distance is a question for him, but he really liked Saratoga last summer, and this is a horse that just really seemed to improve up here, so he might be able to get in the mix at a price underneath.
Yeah, he did put in a couple of pretty nice performances on the move to Saratoga last year. All right, let's move to today's feature, Lake George Grade 3 event for the three-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. I like Blowout. I had Mike Welch in yesterday, and we looked at the Wild Applause. Mike was talking a little bit about Wesley Ward and the Macomb Bullet, so I thought we'd pull that race up, the Appalachian, from April 7th at Keeneland. The Macomb Bullet's going to be the number four horse here, getting it done by a chart margin of a little over a length. To me, Blowout and Dog Tag are the two, and I went back and forth. I just was a little more impressed with the last performance from Blowout, so I went in that direction. What are your thoughts on the Lake George?
Yeah, I think Chad Brown's fillies do look formidable. They're really hard to separate because they all have very similar past performances. I actually picked the Macomb Bullet. I think she's going to be very dangerous given the likely pace scenario of this race. Actually, if you look at Timeform USPPs, we put forth a pace projector that shows, based on the numbers, horses' chicklets, where they're going to be placed in the early going and what kind of pace situation is going to develop. And with the expected scratch of Stillwater Cove, because I believe she's running in the San Clemente at Del Mar instead,
that's what Mike said.
The Macomb Bullet is likely to be on the lead in this race in a situation that we're predicting to favor the front runner. So I just think she's going to be able to control, and going the mile around one on the inner turf course at Saratoga, that often favors speed, and I just think she's going to be tough to run down. I respect all of Chad's fillies, but I was really impressed with the Macomb Bullet's Appalachian, and I think she's going to be tough to run down in this race.
So there's the Friday card. Saturday card got moved from Saturday to Sunday. Any thoughts on the Coaching Club American Oaks? Does Guarana kind of step to the top of the three-year-old filly class?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to see what Guarana's really made of going to the two turns. I think that's the real question. She's got all of the speed that you could ask for. The stamina's the question. She's bred to do it, obviously, on the dam side. She's from one of those Fitz families. Her second dam is Pleasant Home, who won the Breeders' Cup Distaff a number of years ago. So it's not going to be surprising when she handles it. She's also likely the controlling speed in the race. So she's a deserving heavy favorite. But Point of Honor and Champagne Anyone, they're okay, and they'll be there to take advantage in case she stubs her toe. I think she's the likely winner. She's probably the horse everyone's going to pick in the race. But I don't think she just is going to be the winner by default. She's got to actually show up and do it.
Any thoughts on the Haskell tomorrow? To me, my main thought on the Haskell, and I haven't really parsed out where I'm tilting, I just want to see what King for a Day can do. I want to see if that horse can validate what we saw in the Pegasus. And I think that's possible, which then puts him in the three-year-old picture, which is crying out, like the three-year-old filly crying out for a leader.
Yeah, King for a Day has been a horse that's always had a lot of ability, and I think they just had trouble getting him rolling, getting ready for the big races. And I'm interested to see, too, if his prep race in the Pegasus was a fluke, because it might not be. I mean, he just might be that good right now. And coming off the Triple Crown races, you often see these three-year-olds start to step forward, start to fulfill the potential they had shown earlier. earlier, and maximum security might not have the advantage that he had going into the Triple Crown anymore.
I think it's going to be really interesting, as I say, to see what he can do to maybe validate. Code of Honor, I think, is now interesting off of that last race. The three-year-old division, I've been saying, the race tomorrow, the Haskell, the Jim Dandy, the Travers, and the Pennsylvania Derby have that kingmaker potential. Hopefully it winds up to be the Travers up here. Before we let you go, I have a list here of some of the winners we've seen so far, stakes-wise, By Your Side in the Sanford, Comical in the Schuylerville, Listing in the Quick Call. Break even in the Coronation Cup, but the two that kind of jump out to me, Mr. Haverkamp, I'm a fan of Catherine Day Phillips from our visits to Woodbine, so I was happy to see her win on a comeback. That, to me, that was a nice performance off the layup for Mr. Haverkamp, but probably the standout is Sister Charlie so far.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people are getting down on the Diana because Chad Brown trained almost the whole field, but, I mean, it's always a privilege when we get to see the best horses in the country face off against each other, and we got to see that in the Diana. And Sister Charlie, and the question was she going to be ready off a layoff, and she just proved she's still the dominant force in that division. It was just great to see her come back and put forth one of her best efforts. She's just like a machine. Yeah. She always shows up.
Yeah, then that was a nice comeback for her as well. So far in the meet, we've got some nice stakes performances in the books, nice maiden winners to maybe keep our eyes on as well. We appreciate your thoughts for today. You're in town for the entire meet?
I'll be up for the entire meet.
So the game plan is to get you in a couple more times maybe, because one time I would love to discuss putting the morning line together.
Yeah, let's
because
do it.
I think people would really like to hear what the nuts and bolts of that are.
Yeah, a lot goes into it. I'd be happy to discuss it.
All right, so we will do that. We'll put that on the agenda. David Aragona from the New York Racing Association as far as the pregame show in the morning line, but also time form and the daily racing form. All right, we will take a quick break, wrap things up on this Friday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Fun Friday show. They're all fun. What am I talking about? I really appreciate it. That one of the fun parts, speaking of fun, of being up here at Saratoga is our core audience is over there on the front side every day, and so I get a lot of great feedback up here from you, the viewers, when I go over to the front side. And a lot of people say they like yesterday's show. They really comment, like the show in general. Always like that feedback. Get the thumbs up. So, again, appreciate that work. And as I always say, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, hey, let's see some of this. Let's see this person, more of this, less of this, whatever. Let us know at viewermail@capitalotb.com, or you can certainly send a tweet to our Twitter account or go to our Facebook page, Capital OTB. Love to hear from you as far as the show. And as I say, I appreciate just the personal contact on the front side. And at Andy's show, always at Andy's show, when I sit down, I'm usually sitting with a group of people like, hey, like the show this morning and whatnot. So, again, appreciate the feedback. And again, thanks this morning, David Aragona. And we will have him in. I said as he got up, I would love to have him sit in here some morning and talk about making the morning line, because I think that's something that people would really be intrigued to learn more about. Nick Hahn, the radio show Off to the Races, appreciate his visit. Rick Schatzberg, as went in on Sunday, so we're rooting for him on the training side, but it was also fun to talk about the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association and their various initiatives. And, of course, Dale Romans with a couple running tomorrow down at Monmouth, including Coach Rocks for our friend Roddy Valenti and company. All right, let me hit on some of the promos and events coming up here at Capital OTV, because today we have the Fan Appreciation Day at the Cleats Branch out in the Utica area. First 50 folks get a bet voucher and a giveaway item, a program. There's a contest. There's food and beverage. That's the Cleat Branch in Whitesboro. So we can say thank you to you. Keep this in mind, the bounty bet. It'll be every Friday here during the meet. All you have to do is play the late pick five with your Capital OTV bet account, and you get a chance at the bounty, which is over $2,100. So jump in. Play the late pick five today with the Capital OTV bet account. If you're the lone winner, and again, you're just playing against the people playing with Capital OTV bet. If you're the lone winner of the late pick five, you pull down the whole bounty. If there are a number of people, you pull out a consolation prize. That's today. Bounty bet concentrating on the late pick five at Saratoga. Did I say the late pick five at Belmont? Whatever. It's the late pick five at Saratoga. If I made that mistake, late pick five today, right here at Saratoga for the bounty bet. There's also a late pick five play with a bankroll. Mike Callahan will have $150. You can check that out also. There's an OTB Live bankroll that was supposed to be Saturday, and we mentioned it on the handicapping show. Brian Netto will have the $1,000 to play for the bankroll team. That has now been moved to Sunday with the cancellation tomorrow. So you have until tonight to sign up for that team. So go to the website for more information and get on the bankroll team with Brian Netto. Bankroll will have live cut-ins all Sunday afternoon right here on the network. Should be a lot of fun. But again, you have until tonight to sign up for that website, capitalotb.com. Saturday, $100 winner bet contest down at the Clubhouse Racebook. I assume that's still on. It was going to be races at Saratoga. I assume maybe they'll shift them over perhaps to Monmouth, but you may want to double check on that. But I do know Sunday there's a double Sunday promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. Naira pick four and a match bet. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, which is also the home of a nice event coming up this week, a nice charity event. Love to alert you to the charity outing at the Clubhouse Racebook coming up on Monday, July 22nd, 5:30 to 8:30. Guest celebrity bartenders. You can see down there Roddy Valenti, Dale in town, the serve behind the bar. All of it benefits Act Naturally. We've had Val Buck from Act Naturally on with us here on the set. We'll try to get her in sometime again, probably this summer. She, I want to say, her backstretch days, she was with Wayne Lucas for a while. But we've talked with Val, as I say, over the past few seasons about what she's doing now. A little north of here, has some retired horses, and they are used in therapeutic ways for folks. And so, again, we will be benefiting Act Naturally down at the Clubhouse Racebook. Stop down Monday night from 5:30 to 8:30. Have a drink. Have a Coke or an alcoholic beverage or whatnot. And belly up to get the celebrity bartenders Monday night, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, again, we said it at the top of the handicappers report, but I will remind you, with the heat and humidity tomorrow, the decision was made yesterday. Saratoga tomorrow, really a number of venues, Finger Lakes, Delaware Parks, a couple other tracks. Monmouth still a go with their big day for the Haskell. They put special protocols in place to address the heat and humidity. But tomorrow here at Saratoga, no racing. But they took the Saturday card. If you were into it and did some handicapping like I did, then keep your program because the Saturday card has just been transferred. Now, they will add a race at the beginning. That canceled steeplechase from the other day will kick things off. That means an early post time on Sunday of 12:20. Then what was that Saturday card will be in the middle. And the feature from Sunday, the Shoe V, will be run as the last race, the 13th. So the Saturday card kind of stays intact in between the Steeplechase Race 1 and the Shoe V Race 13. So that's the situation up here with tomorrow. No racing. Get your floaty and sit by the pool and fire up your Capital OTB bet account and take a look at the Molly Pitcher and the Haskell and the other nice stakes down at Monmouth on Saturday afternoon. But there's plenty of racing today, so enjoy that, Saratoga, Del Mar, and all the other venues that will be available on this Friday afternoon. Lots of great racing today. We covered it earlier on the Handicappers Report. We got some ideas as we went along via Racing Across America this morning. So hopefully we gave out some good ideas. Cash some tickets. We'll see you next time right here on the network. Stay tuned.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.